They throw their coats on the ground. They spread it palms on the floor. This was their way of welcoming him. But the Bible tells us that in less than a few days, those same people would holler, "Crucify him." Those same people would holler, "Crucify him," because he did not bring an army with him to liberate them from the situation that they found themselves in. The Bible said that he came to bring sight to the blind. This phrase calls to mind the many instances in which Jesus healed the sick, the physically challenged, and those who were afflicted by demons and other causes of mental anguish. Those who were blinded by mental anguish, those who were not just physical blind, but spiritually blind. A lot of times we talk about blindness in the Bible, we think about blind Bartimaeus, who was a man who was born blind. But also, the word blind has a dual concept, meaning those who were spiritually blind as well. So he came to give sight, physical sight, and spiritual sight to the blind, to those who could not see beyond their circumstance. This phrase makes us understand that he was there to heal the sick and those who had all type of physical abnormalities. And lastly, we see Jesus as a Messiah who sets at liberty those who are captive or those who are bruised. To set at liberty means to give them freedom, to let them be able to think for themselves. When you have liberty, that you can make your own decisions. When you are occupied by occupying force, just like we were in slavery, we did not have control of our bodies, therefore we did not have control of our minds. You cannot have control of your mind if you do not have control of your body. And so what Jesus is saying here, what the Bible is saying is that he came to set at liberty those who did not have control over themselves. He came to set them up so that they could control their own situation. They could control themselves in their own environment. When we read the King James Version, we remember that King James did not want a translation that would threaten his rule as king. So the safer translation was to set at liberty those who were bruised. That's what the New King James Bible says. But one version said those who were captive. And it means the same thing, because those who were a captive were also those who were oppressed, those who did not have the freedom to move around and to do what they wanted to do. Jesus completes his reading in verse 19, which proclaims the acceptable year of the Lord. But in the Isaiah passage, the verse goes on to include the proclamation of the day of vengeance of our Lord. The portion Jesus quoted introduced the day of salvation, the period in which salvation was being proclaimed. We are still in that area today. The day of the Lord's final judgment has not come yet. It may be on its way, but the day of God's final judgment has not yet come. For the Bible tells us that when that day comes, we will all see it together. Not one person, not two people, but we will all see it together. So we are still in the era of that time, but God's final judgment has not come yet. In verse 20, it says, "And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down. And the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him." So Jesus rolled up the scroll, and he gave it to the minister or the administrator. This would be one who was in charge of the synagogue. This would not be a minister, as we understand it word. It would have been an attendant in charge of the scrolls, a salaried clerk, not one who would preach, but one who would take care of all the scrolls and all of the recordings and all of the things that were written in the synagogue. And after he gives the scroll back to the minister or the administrator, the Bible said he sat down, which was the posture after teaching. And all eyes were fastened on him, gazing intently, earnestly, and steadfastly on him. And he began to say, verse 21, he began to say to them, "This day Is this scripture fulfilled in your ears? Then Jesus began his sermon with a statement sure to grab the interest of his listeners. The wonderful prophecies from the beginning of Isaiah 61 were being fulfilled as Jesus was standing right there in front of them. They were actually looking at the disciple, at the Messiah. And reading the rest of the Isaiah passage, we also realize that there also work left for us to do. When Jesus talks about him being anointed to preach the gospel, he talks about the fact that it is he who has come to bring that gospel to a people who were oppressed. Because of this, the people who had been oppressed wanted to hear. They needed to hear something like this, something that would encourage their hearts and give them hope to know that those situations that they were in were not going to last always, and that they were actually looking at their Redeemer and their Messiah as he spoke. What better place and time to outline his mission than in his own hometown at the beginning of his ministry? Jesus had already been anointed. That's in Luke 3 and 22. Note the relationship between the anointing of God's Spirit. It was now time for a brief outline of his mission. There's a Jubilee theme present here in this scripture. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go to Leviticus 25. Read Leviticus 25, 8 through 55. It's a rather lengthy scripture. A time of the Old Testament where prisoners and slaves were released and debts were discharged. Jesus is a true Jubilee in this in our lives because he sets us free from spiritual prisons in our lives. He pays the debt of sin that we owe. Having been locked up in sin, he figuratively breaks chains in our lives. Jesus also makes reference to his preaching ministry and the healing that would take place as his journey throughout the providence. After reading from the scroll, Jesus sits down. He does not wax eloquent about his meaning, nor does he have a three-point sermon for his attendants. He simply states that he is the one who has come to bring about a change. This day is his scripture fulfilled in your ears. Brief and sufficient, yet powerful words that left the gathering community speechless in disbelief. They later ask, "Is not this Joseph's son?" How many times have you heard pastors preach sermons that had little or nothing to do with the text? What does it look like for a preacher to be faithful to the meaning of the scripture passage? An effective way to minister to people is to stick to the word of God, right and exact, just like it is written. Don't put nothing in it. Don't take nothing from it. This is precisely what Jesus does when he picks up that scroll and he begins to read from the book of Isaiah. So many times I have heard ministers give a text, read a scripture, and they go off to the races. Nothing that they say has anything to do with the scripture that they just read or the text they just gave us. And before you know it, they have left the word, and now they're giving us their own opinion. But if you remember, for us in the Bible, we are to follow the word of God as it is written. That's why you always hear me say the Bible said, and the Bible said, and the Bible said. I don't say it. I preach what the Bible says. And when that's my opinion, I'll say that this is Reverend Rogers talking. This is not the Bible. It's not in the Bible. This is what I'm saying. And I make it known that my opinion is different from what the word is. And too often, ministers and preachers will combine their opinions with the word. And it leaves people completely disoriented. And it leaves them confused about the word of God, because your opinion may not necessarily match up with what the word of God says at that time, and it certainly will not match up to what the word of God will say later on if you keep on reading the scripture. We tend to forget that the same spirit that Jesus was anointed with resides in all of us. So that means that the same Spirit gives us the ability to preach the good news to the poor and to proclaim freedom to those who are in prison in sin. We tend to leave this to the ministers or to the preachers who are called to evangelism. But this is part of what Jesus has commissioned for all of his followers to do, to go out and make disciples, to teach the word of God, to speak to people concerning the good news of Jesus Christ. See, I think it's fear that prevents us from doing so. But that fear is unwarranted. We fear because we think about our own physical and natural inabilities. But Jesus wants us to consider the Spirit's supernatural ability. And what we are lacking, God will supply. So you may not be able to speak eloquently. You may not be a preacher. You may not be able to string together a list of $500 words to impress people. And that's not what's needed today. What our people need to hear today is the plain, simple truth, the gospel. That's what they need to hear. They don't need to hear a lot of things that confuse them. And many times people want to play Bible trivia, and they want to ask questions concerning the Bible that they already have the answer to. And I think today we should come to the understanding that Jesus left the command for all of us to go ye there out there in the hedges and the highways and compel people to come. How can we do that if we don't know the word ourselves? That's why it's important for us in the house of God to learn the word ourselves. I could be preaching and I could be telling you something completely wrong. And if you don't read the word for yourself, you'll think it's right. So that's why it's important for each and every one of us to get into the word of God. I've often told you that when you study the word of God, perhaps you may need another book. Perhaps you might need a Bible dictionary or a concordance, something that can break down the scripture in English so that you can hear it and see it and understand it better. But whatever you do, don't leave it to someone else to always tell you about the scripture. Learn it for yourself. David said, "Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." There was no written Bible back in those days. People couldn't walk around with a Bible. The only time they could hear the word is when they came to the church. And they had to retain that word in their body, in their soul, in their self, and carry that word with them wherever they went. They couldn't look it up on their cell phone. They didn't have cell phones back in there. They couldn't look up the scripture. They couldn't, you know, what does Isaiah 61 say? They couldn't do that. But what they did know is what the word said. And this is what we have to do. I'm not saying that you got to learn every scripture in the Bible. And there are a lot of folk, I said before, who do that Bible trivia thing. They can just call out scriptures and just quote scriptures and just quote scriptures. But that's not what people need to hear. People need to hear the word as it explained to them correct way so that they will hear and know what God is trying to say to them. That is our lesson for today. We've had some little difficulty this morning in getting in. I think I got a note from Blog Talk Radio early this morning to say that the infrastructure, they're working on their infrastructure at Blog Talk, and that some of the programs would not be live streamed. However, if you are not able to get us on today, it will be archived, and you can go back at a later time and listen to this lesson. I'm going to open the lines. There may be some who would like to speak, who would like to add something to this lesson. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits 9164. Are you on the line? 9164. You don't have to say anything. Just say, "I'm listening," and we'll move on. All right, let's go to 919, last four digits, 5257. 5257. Are you on the line? All right, let's move on. Area code 910, last four digits, 1602. 1602, are you on the line?
Yes, good afternoon, Reverend Rogers. This is Sister Darlene. How are you today?
Doing good. How are you?
Good. Awesome word today. I thank you for, breaking down the word and telling us about the gospel, which is good news. It made me think about one of my favorite scriptures as well, Matthew 11:28, when it says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest."
Yeah.
So, the teaching of your word, you know, through Jesus' word, you know, lets you know he brings peace and comfort and healing through his word. So, he is right there when we go through, you know, all of these things, like, you know, we feel that we are burdened or, you know, brokenhearted or all those kind of stuff like that. The word alone helps us to get, you know, heal and deliver, you know, from our thoughts of thinking, things like that. And this, that was a much-needed word today as far as different preachers, you know, staying away from the word. I have experienced that. I can say, you know, because I have, you know, got more into my word, and I read, and, you know, I follow along with a commentary. And the same meaning that, you know, God gave me about a word, you know, I've heard it in a different, it was different than what God gave me, but it was a person's own opinion. So
right,
I thank
right.
God for, you know, letting me hear that today so, you know, I can steady read his word and get much out of that word and listen to him for God's meaning. I thank you again for the word today.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Dolly. Thank you so very much. Let's go to area code 252. Last four digits, 1600. 1600. Are you on the line?
Praise the Lord. This is Deacon Taylor's mother.
Hey, how are you?
I didn't get the hand. I'm doing fine, praise God. On the road driving, but I'm listening. Praise God. And what I got in it on the end was, started to show yourself approval. I don't think
Amen.
You don't learn but one word in the word, but know that word. So when you talk about it, you know what you're talking about. Praise God.
Amen.
I enjoyed the ending. That's all I got, but that was good.
Amen. Thank you so very much for listening today. We hope that you will come back and listen to us next Tuesday at 12 o'clock. Our Bible study is every Tuesday at 12 noon. Thank you so very much. We appreciate it. And you are absolutely right. You've got to study to show yourself approved in the Word of God.
Amen.
Trustee Mangum, are you on the line?
Yes, sir.
Go right ahead.
Yes, I am. Yeah, I like that of Sister Taylor just got through saying, too, because we need to just stick to the Word of God. And like you said, you know, people be giving their own opinion. And I noticed that, Reverend Rogers, you do say that whenever you say something, it's your opinion, you make it plain that it's just your opinion.
That's right.
You know,
yeah.
When you preach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah,
I try not to confuse people. I want people to know that it's me talking and not the Bible when I say stuff like that, you know.
Amen.
Yeah, so,
but,
you know, people, they just need to just preach the word because, you know, if you just change and just say things that you want to say from the pulpit, you know, that kind of changes your mood of people because it kind of sounds like you're just trying to get your, not fussing, but kind of get a word over to somebody or something you done heard of a situation, what have
mm-hmm.
you, and don't need to use the pulpit for stuff like that. And the anointing there, like you said, you set aside.
Amen.
You know, people
Amen.
Need to be anointed by God. Because some people, they are not anointed by God, but they say they are called by God to preach. And God haven't called them. If, you know, it's they haven't been anointed by God, like I said, to preach. Because different
mm-hmm.
people have different ministries. They might need to be evangelists or a teacher, Sunday school teacher, or something, a missionary person.
Mm-hmm.
But you can use that word in all kinds of places at the church.
You're exactly right. That's why I think I'm a seminarian. That's why I think that it's important for ministers to be educated. I'm not saying that you have to go and get a degree or anything like that. I'm not saying that. But you should, if you're going to stand before God's people and proclaim his word, you ought to have some knowledge of what you're doing. It's important.
Amen.
You would not go to a doctor that didn't go to doctor school or medical school. You wouldn't go to a mechanic who didn't know how to fix cars. You wouldn't let nobody fix your hair who didn't have a hair certificate or cosmetology certificate. But when it comes down to the word of God, we'll let anybody do it. We'll let anybody who claims they can do it. But yet we won't even go to a barber who don't have a barber's license. You know, we won't even let our car be fixed by somebody who's not capable or who's not able to do that. So it's important for those of us who proclaim the word of God to the people of God that we know exactly what we're doing. And if we don't know, say, I don't know. If you don't know, there's nothing wrong with saying, I don't know. I'll get back with you. I've had people to ask me questions about the Bible. And I have to tell them, I said, look, let me get back with you. Let me go research that. I'm not going to try to answer or give you an answer that I don't know what I'm talking about. Let me go figure out what it is, and I'll get back with you, and I'll explain it to you as I see it. That's important for ministers to do, to get into the word of God themselves and to have a full knowledge of what the word is saying. Area code 910. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088.
Yes, Pastor Roger.
Ah, Deaconess Rainey, how are you today?
Fine, and you and everybody on the line, hello.
Amen.
I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hello? Yes, you talked about being released from debt and discharged. And it was Leviticus. I was trying to get that scripture you had dealing with,
Leviticus 25. That's Leviticus 25, starting in verse 8, and it goes through to verse 55. That's a very long, it's a long passage of scripture. But it breaks down what that concept is of the Jubilee, when all debts are paid, when all prisoners are released. And this is what Jesus came to do for us, to pay all of our debts, debts in sin, not money debts, but sin debts, and to release us from our prison, not physical prison, but spiritual prison or sinful prison. And he is, in effect, a sort of jubilee. Back in the Bible days, every 50 years, there was a time when land that had been taken from people were returned back to them. People who were locked up were let out, all debts were forgiven, and that way people could have a fresh start. Families would not be indigent for generations and generations like it is now. Every family would have a fresh start every 50 years, and all debts would be paid. And it was a good concept back in those days. And so what the Bible is saying, that in Leviticus, Jesus is similar to that, in that he came to pay all debts and to release us from the prison of sin. And by doing that, he is sort of a jubilee, or he's bringing a time of jubilee into our lives.
Mm-hmm.
Does that answer your question?
Yes, it does. Yes.
Area code 919, 5257. Have I spoken to you? 5257. Okay, maybe you're just listening. It's all right. You don't have to say anything. When I open the lines, I just ask for those who would like to say something. You're not obligated to say anything, but I just open the lines for those who would like to say something. I have not heard from Sister Bess. Are you on the line, Sister Bess? Maybe she's not on the line at this time, because normally she would chime in.
She was on there, Pastor. She was on there, but she had a disconnect, because she texted me. She was having problems with the line.
Yeah, there is problems in the line, and there's also problems with the forum. I have received a message that we are currently working on an infrastructure issue that is preventing broadcasts from live streaming. However, the content will be available for archive use. In other words, even if you're not able to get me today on your phone, you can go back and click on that link. Of course, you got to have internet, and you can click on that link and you can hear the Bible study in its full entirety. Does anybody else have anything that they want to add? I'm opening the mic. Anybody wants to add anything, you may do so. Well, we thank you for joining us today. We made it through another Bible study. Of course, you know, we're at the mercy of these technology mediums that we're using, whether it be Facebook or all that we're using. We have to make sure that we learn how to use this stuff. We've never had to do it before. This is a year like no other.
That's right.
And the church world has got to do some new, got to learn how to do some new things. We got to learn how to go in a different direction. And so I thank all of you for being a part of the Bible study today. I pray that something was heard that you will enjoy, that you can pass on to someone else. Don't pay attention to the announcements that you may hear. I'm holding the program open for a little while longer. So I thank all of you who were able to join us today. We want to remind you that on the fourth Sunday, we do still have our youth celebration. We're asking every disciple to contribute $25 for our youth budget so that we can meet our budget for our youth department. I will be preaching. Our theme for this year is We Are the Future. We Are the Future. Let us breathe. That is the theme for Youth Day this coming Sunday. So I'm working on a sermon now that will reflect those thoughts. We have a lot to think about. We're going through a lot at this time in our society and in our country, and we do have to have a word from the Lord. So, if no one else has anything they would like to say, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for another Bible study. We thank you for those who have been on the line today to hear a word from you. We pray, God, that these words be sown in good soil, that long after this Bible study is over, it'll bear forth fruit, God. We thank you, God, for all that you're doing for us. We thank you, God, for how you're blessing us. Now, God, we ask you to remember those who are on our sick list today. Remember those who are in the rest home, God. Stop by the bed of those who are sick right now. Stop if you don't stay long. Jesus. Let them know, God, that everything is going to be all right. Touch their bodies, Father. Anoint them afresh to the healing you come in the room. Oh, God, lift them up on every leaning side. Give them encouragement in their hearts, Father. Touch those families who are going through right now. People have lost their lives. Mm-hmm. Loved ones have been lost.
Yeah.
And we bless God, we can't even have proper funerals for those who have died. So comfort the hearts of those who have lost loved ones, oh Lord. Bless their hearts and let them know, God, that it's going to be all right. That by and by we will see Jesus all together. We thank you, God, for your mercy. We thank you, God, for your grace. We thank you, God, for First Baptist of Holly Springs. We pray, God, for every member of that congregation, every deacon, every trustee, every choir member, every usher. Bless right now in the name of Jesus, God, that we will be the church that you would have us to be. God, cover us with your blood, and we'll be able to tell the story of how you brought us over. Oh, God, we love you today, and we give you all the glory. We give you all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Jesus
and
name.
Amen.
Amen.
God bless all of you today. Y'all have
God
a good week.
You.
And we'll
bless
see you
heart.
Next Tuesday. Amen. Amen. Y'all have a good
Amen.
Week. We'll see you next Tuesday.
Amen.
And hopefully we'll have all the bugs written out of this thing. Amen.
Hallelujah.
God bless you.
Amen.
Amen.
Have a good day.
You too.
held on, and you were strong. And for your faithfulness, it's your time. You encouraged everyone else when you needed it for yourself. And I want you to know that for your faithfulness, it's your have been working in the vineyard for the Lord for what seems like a lifetime. You have dreamed and you've worked towards things that you wanted to accomplish for yourself. But somehow your biggest goals always seem to be just out of your reach. But the Lord told me to tell you that He knows who you are. Yes, He's seen your work and He's also seen your tears. And He wants you to know today that you're not forgotten. He's here to reward you for all your faithfulness. For He said in His word that if you would delight yourself in Him, He will give you the desires of your heart. In other words, not only will He give you what you need, but He promised to give you whatever you want. So don't get discouraged. Don't give up. Hang in there and prepare yourself for your blessing. It's your time now.